Ephesians 6:1, I'm sure it's a familiar verse for most. Ephesians 6:1 states, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, before I had children, I used to look at this text and be like, "That's right, kids, obey." Now that I actually have children, I look at this verse much differently. I look at it and see that behind the obey, there must be one commanding and giving the children something that they must submit to and obey. Something very foreign and absent in families today. I see a responsibility given to me to command my children responsibly and properly to train them and command them to obey, but also to command them where they are, using words they can understand, having expectations they can achieve, and taking into consideration their limitations and their age. In this text, the obey is a call to action on the part of the child. We have a mandate or a command given, an expected follow-through or completion of the mandate by the child. This is not only a loaded verse for children, but I believe for parents as well. Being a parent is an amazing thing that comes with amazing responsibility. Put this right here. For me, I'm on a learning curve when it comes to training my children. I catch myself when commanding using words, Hannah and Julia, they don't even know. It's not in their vocabulary. It's easy to do. Even using phrases like, "Don't disobey Papa." The other day I was explaining to Hannah after using the rod that she was disobedient. She looked up at me and smiled. Yep. I asked her if she even knew what disobedience was. You know, this is after I'd used it innumerable times. She responded with no. So, okay, take a step back. Realize I'm dealing with a 2-year-old with limited understanding. So that night we started to memorize some vocab words. Our first being disobedience. Disobedience is not doing what I am told to do. Repeating it over and over again. Disobedience is not doing what I am told to do. Then I had to make sure she understood that. So I asked her, "What kind of things does Papa tell you to do?" And she gave a motion of brushing her teeth. It was near bedtime. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. This incident caused me to look at the scriptures and do a word study on obey, obedience, etc. So we'll examine for a moment this word obey. In the New Testament, there are many different Greek words behind our English words obey, obedience, hearken, etc. Out of these different Greek words, there is one that I would like to focus in on. The Greek word behind the obey in Ephesians 6:1 is hupakouo. Can be defined as to hear under a subordinate, to hear under as a subordinate, to heed or conform to a command or authority, and to listen attentively. Like when somebody knocks at your door. I don't know about you, but there's something that happens to me when somebody knocks at my door, especially when I'm not expecting anybody. My entire being is focused on the door at that point. Listen attentively. Now, I know this isn't Greek class, but stay with me because words do mean something. And I found this study to be vastly interesting when I started looking at this word, hupakouo. This word, hupakouo, is a compound Greek word, which means is made up of at least two words. Hupo, which is a preposition meaning by or under, and akouo, a verb meaning to hear, to attend to consider what is or has been said, to understand and perceive the sense of what is said, to perceive by the ear what is announced in one's presence, to learn by hearing, to give ear to a teaching or a teacher, to comprehend, to understand. The Greek word hupakouo literally means to underhear. It means to place yourself under that which you have heard. It means that in placing yourself under that which you have heard, you not only agree with it, but you are bound by it. It is obvious to me that hearing is a huge determining factor in our obedience. When I think of hearing and obedience, I think of passages like Romans 10, 13 through 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In James 1, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'd like for us to turn to a passage in Jeremiah that shows how strongly the sense of hearing is present in obedience. Jeremiah 13, to see how strongly the sense of hearing is present in obedience. Starting in verse 1, Jeremiah 13. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise. Go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused... to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. We see in this text the commander commanding, the Lord giving clear instruction unto his servant, this holy man of God, Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go, and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins. We also see specific boundaries and instruction given, and put it not in water. Next, we simply see immediate and careful adherence to the command. Notice, according to the word of the Lord. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. Notice how the completed action directly reflects the command given. The actions do not fall short of the command, and neither do they go further or add to the command. Nothing more than an automatic response of obedience to the given command. Get thee a linen girdle. So I got a girdle. Put it upon thy loins. Put it upon my loins. Again, we see the commander commanding, the Lord giving clear, specific instructions unto his servant. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole in the rock. Again, we see immediate and careful adherence to the command. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Notice, as the Lord commanded me. We see continual obedience of the servant to his master's words. And it came to pass, after many days, that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Now the purpose is declared and the interpretation given. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. The reason? This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. And looking at some history behind this text, it is thought that Jeremiah did not show himself in Jerusalem for the space of about 7 years. Now, thinking on this text and considering the locations where he may have been and where he was commanded to go, I looked at some maps and did some rough calculating. From the Temple Mount in Jerusalem to the Euphrates, I was able to calculate the time it would take if you were to walk this distance today, just over 6.5 days. That is not stopping or sleeping or anything. That's walking straight, 6.5 days. Walking from one point to another without stopping. If you walked a solid 10 hours a day, it would take roughly 16 days. This is quite a distance to travel to prepare an object lesson for the people. Depending on where he was when the word of the Lord came unto him, this may have been a round-trip journey. If he were walking, a whole 32-day journey. However, regardless of the distance and where he was located is of no importance. What is important is that he was obedient to the commands of the Lord. The Lord commanded clear and precise commands with specific instructions laid out. It was a command and a call to action. It was the duty of Jeremiah to hear and listen to those commands and follow through with them immediately and exactly as prescribed, without leaving anything undone or adding anything to. This was contrary to those who were spoken of in verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. These people had become like a fig tree that produces no figs, like a rose bush that does not bud, like a toothbrush without bristles. They are good for nothing. This evil people shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Why are they said to be good for nothing? And don't forget whose words these are. What caused them to be this way? I don't think the question should be what, but who. Who caused them to be this way? They refused to hear the words of the Lord. This evil people which refused to hear my words. All through Scripture, we are given great examples of obedience. Noah had never seen rain, but he built an ark, according to the word of the Lord. Abraham, so much could be said about Abraham. Genesis 21:12, and he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." God told him to leave Ur for a land. He would show him sight unseen. Romans 4:20 tells us he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The promise of God was good enough for Abraham to pack up all his family and belongings to travel a long, treacherous path to a place he'd never laid eyes upon. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Joshua had never seen walls tumble, but he hearkened unto the voice of the Lord and walked around the city of Jericho. How about examples of Christ? John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 17:4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 5:8 and 9, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Even when it seems unimaginable that they would have obeyed, they did, and we have them for an example. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Mark 12:33, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength. And to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. I want it to be known and clear that I'm not teaching or talking about moralism. We are to obey by God's grace for his glory and for our good. And also for our family's good. His commandments are not grievous. He has equipped us and given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Scripture is clear. Patterns are given and expectations are commanded. We do not always have a clear picture of the outcome, but we are not left with wondering how. Think of the expectation we have on our own children to listen and obey, and the direct and immediate action we take at the discipline and chastisement if they do not. What about our Heavenly Father who sees us? His expectation is that we obey him, obey his command as he has directed and outlined. Praise be to him for his mercy and grace he shows to us. But what does this mean for us? To the one who has not yet put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your command is repent and believe the gospel. Turn yourself to God, for the wrath of God abideth on you. To the believers, as we sit under preaching, it's like there is a huge pile of responsibility up here, and the pastor is taking from the pile shovels full and heaping it upon our shoulders. We are responsible to hear the instruction, to understand it and obey it. There are no excuses, At least I don't think there are. Though sometimes we like to make some. We also like to try and justify why we are not obeying. I guess to convince ourselves into believing that our disobedience is somehow acceptable. For a while, I was not having family Bible time. I would make excuses to myself and convince myself that somehow it was okay. Well, it wasn't. As a member of this assembly, I entered into a covenant to hold family Bible time. It is my responsibility to make that happen. I was bothered by this until I repented and committed to follow through. Have I somehow found extra time? Nope. I just stopped making excuses and submitted myself. Ever since we started that, I have not been bothered or worried about it as I had been. It's been liberating, and it's good for my family as well. To those of us who are in authority, we are responsible to give clear, distinct, specific commands. Commands that can be followed. Commands that can be understood to those who we are commanding. Making sure that we have their attention when commanding. To everyone, we are responsible to hear the command, understand it, and completely and quickly fulfill it with the correct attitude and motivation, without adding to the command, without falling short of it. We are also responsible to ask questions if we do not understand the command, so we can be sure to fulfill it to its desired and intended result. I don't know about you, but I don't want it to be said about me that I am good for nothing. I have a desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't forget that hearing is a huge determining factor in obedience. Luke 8:18 says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have."